Our guest this week is the CEO and president of Newsmax Media Incorporated, one of the nation's leading news media companies. Newsmax.com ranks consistently as one of the country's most trafficked news websites. And the video arm of the organization, Newsmax TV, has been making a rapid ascent in the cable news talk television arena, especially in the conservative realm dominated primarily by Fox News Channel. If you've been following the conservative cable news talk TV ratings wars, you know that since Election Day, Newsmax TV has made enormous gains in audience metrics, actually posting ratings victories on specific occasions against Fox, which is widely recognized as the genre's 800-pound gorilla. Some media and political observers claim that Newsmax has been able to achieve this by catering to the large number of Trump loyalists who feel betrayed by Fox News Channel's unwillingness to go all out on supporting the Stop the Steal movement and telling them what they want to hear as opposed to a more objective take on the truth. Although Fox's evening talk show lineup, hosted by Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham, has remained quite true to backing the president's claim that the election was rigged by the Democrats and, in fact, stolen. The beef that viewers have seems to be aimed largely at Fox's news division as opposed to its views division. There was a November 29th article in the New York Times written by Ben Smith about our guest that bore the provocative headline, "The King of Trump TV Thinks You're Dumb Enough to Buy It." It set out to make the case that Newsmax has found an opportunity in feeding Trump supporters what it describes as the fantasy that the president could still win the election. Whether or not that's true, I leave to you. But those of us who've been following the growth of Newsmax Media and watch this stuff closely know that there's much more to the Newsmax picture and success story than just this narrow portrayal. Newsmax has always been mindful of presenting a broad-based perspective on the news from a right-of-center perspective, but hardly an exclusively far-right perspective. Although it might seem like splitting hairs in this day and age of audience targeting, the nuances of difference between right-of-center and far-right can have measurable implications in audience numbers and political impact. Perhaps we've all become confused as to the difference between ardent Trumpism and far-right political ideology. They might have some overlap, but they're not necessarily synonymous, and we'll explore this in the conversation at hand. Because timestamping is so important in covering rapidly breaking news events these days, I want to point out that the following interview was conducted this past Sunday evening, December 13th, the day before the votes were officially cast by the Electoral College on Monday, December 14th, and it was posted on Tuesday morning, December 15th. So let's get to it before too much more time goes by. Our guest this week is Newsmax President and CEO, Christopher Ruddy. Welcome to the Michael Harrison Interview, the weekly podcast from Podcast One for media freaks, pop culture aficionados, political junkies, and the philosophically curious. Thank you for downloading this program from Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, the Podcast One app, and Spotify, and for following our Tuesday tweets announcing the names of our weekly guests. To sign up, it's at MH Interview. I can be reached directly via email at michael@talkers.com. If you find this show to be of interest and value, please subscribe to it as well as giving it a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Okay, here we go. An uninterrupted conversation with Christopher Ruddy of Newsmax. You know, I just listened to the podcast that you and I recorded back in, I believe it was January. It was before the COVID situation happened. And you were very high, of course, for a long time now on building Newsmax TV. But it's so fascinating listening to a conversation that is still within this year. And we were talking about the big story of the year being, of course, the impeachment at the beginning of the year. And then, of course, the election. Had no idea COVID was coming. And isn't it remarkable how many things have happened in 2020, not just to the world, but to you and your company?
Well, I credit Trump time, because Trump time is different than normal time. I think we all feel that we've lived like through 20 years in the past 4 years.
You have
so many amazing things. The president usually sets the tone, and it's been a very momentous period for the country. And then we had the election and COVID, as you said, and then Newsmax's growth is one of the big stories, I think.
It's a huge story, and it's a huge media story. Not only is it a huge media story, it's a huge consumer story. At Talkers, we've been tracking it for the past few weeks, the growth of Newsmax and what we call the cable news talk TV wars, or more precisely, the conservative cable TV news talk wars, as one of the 10 most talked about subjects on the radio for the public, not just within the industry, because it's a fabulous exercise in what we call in media positioning, finding yourself some ground on the spectrum of possibilities out there and serving an audience. And I get the feeling that you're a very nimble programmer. And again, I call it positioning, where on that spectrum you're going to position your company. And it's been very interesting watching you over the years that I've been following you putting Newsmax TV together. This is not something that came out of the blue, people should know. You've been building this thing brick by brick and plotting its direction, very, very intensely. You've been on top of it. I've seen it go through different phases. And I get the feeling that you saw an opportunity arise as this year's politics progressed in terms of Fox News Channel and in terms of the conservative media in dealing with the diversity within its own base.
Well, I would say, Michael, and thank you for all of those kind remarks. I would say I saw many years ago that I thought there was a need for diversity. Newsmax.com. Our website was one of the first leading conservative news online channel, and I still believe that we've been the leader. I think we were the first to identify Donald Trump as a presidential candidate, and you remember that because very few people were talking about him as a serious presidential candidate. And even though some sites will get more web traffic, we've always had a very consistent audience and base, which is what I like. We don't do clickbait articles, the five things you can do in Vegas next weekend type stories. Mm. So we've been consistent, and I saw that Fox had half the cable news market. They had no challengers, no competition. I liked Roger Ailes. I liked Fox, but I thought this isn't really good for the country that we only have one channel. I thought Newsmax was really the best name brand online digitally, and that we were all encompassing. We didn't have, like Breitbart does, and we like the guys at Breitbart, but they have a very distinct point of view. It's sometimes insular, and Newsmax is very broad, and I've always wanted to keep it broad, so I thought we were best positioned. In fact, Roger Ailes and I had conversations in the 2012 to 14 period about him leaving Fox News and coming over and starting a new channel with Newsmax.
Wow.
We had several conversations and meetings about it, and he basically said at the end of the day, Fox offered him a huge amount of money. He claimed it was about $25 million a year. I think it was a little less, but it was just easy money, and he, I think, had real questions about the future stewardship of then News Corp, now Fox Corp. You know, that Rupert Murdoch, he greatly admired it, as I do. And we think he's a living god for conservatives in many ways. But his kids aren't as committed, I think, politically. It's a little unclear where they're going. And so in any event, I saw this as a huge, both a political opportunity and need. And then as a market, there was definitely a competitive market there. So I went in. I thought more people would rally to it and see the obviousness of it earlier.
When you say more people, you mean listeners? When you say more people, you mean consumers, or do you mean people in the industry?
I thought everybody.
Okay.
Consumers, people in the industry, financial people that would want to back Newsmax and
right.
this venture. We basically funded it most of the years of its operation, or self-funded it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a lot of people approaching us interested in investing or doing all sorts of things with Newsmax, which is nice to see, but, you know, we... I thought it was pretty obvious the marketplace was there. Our estimates were we only needed to get like 5 to 10% of Fox's audience, and Newsmax would be a very profitable company. We're already getting well past that in number.
Well, so
I think we're very clearly set on a trajectory that's going to be successful. But I think there was a need, and I think everything that happened with Trump this year, they effectively decided to turn on him at the very end. I think, you know, worked in our favor, but we had been steadily building an audience and things long before that election night.
Yeah. What I find interesting, and again, I've been following you very closely, and if people go back to our conversations and articles we've written and things that you and I have done, you originally were planning Newsmax TV to be almost a central, right-of-center, conservative, you know, news organization, you know, a media station, the online, the print, the TV, and all of those things. And somehow you wound up on the right flank of Fox News Channel. How'd that happen?
Michael, you're buying all the media spin. I mean, that's just pure 100% New York Times, Daily Beast, Newsmax. We've always been center-right. We've been consistent. You know, I love that word consistent because I think Fox has been very inconsistent. But, you know, we've been very supportive of the president, let's say, with President Trump. But we've also been critical of him, and we publish a pretty balanced array of articles on Newsmax. And it's been true on Newsmax TV as well for the past 5 years or 6 years. If you look at Fox News in prime time, I would argue that their three or four hosts in prime time are far more right-wing than any of the people Newsmax has. And if you look at the overall assembly of personalities, you know, Greg Kelly's a conservative. He's very pro-Trump, but I wouldn't say he's a right-winger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Grant Stinchfield comes out of the NBC-owned and operated stations. He is very pro-Second Amendment, but I wouldn't say that he's like an ultra-right-wing person. And, you know, Sean Spicer, I think he was a centrist in the Republican Party, and Lindsey Keith. So I think if you look at the overall and the daytime journalists, the journalists, we have a really nice mix of people that are not anybody that supports or is editorially supportive of the president is right wing now. I think it's one of those media things.
That's very interesting that you said that.
And I think we're always going to continue to be who we are.
Uh-huh. Well, it's interesting that you say that, and perhaps I should have questioned it as word is that you've done that, as opposed to it sounding like that was my.
I won't hold it against you.
But one of the things I like about you is you don't seem to carry grudges against anybody. You seem to be a very pragmatic and fair individual. You're also extremely candid. One of the things that I found amazing about you, and we talked about it the last time we spoke publicly, was that how on one level you have this reputation for being a friend, quote unquote, a friend of Donald Trump. On the other hand, you have no problem seeming to take issue with his policies here and there and remain unscathed by any kind of retaliation on his part. And I do want to mention before you respond to this that I had a firsthand opportunity to have dinner with you, and at that dinner the Trump family was there, not just Trump but his wife and his children, and at that time John Kelly was the White House chief of staff. He was there. It was an amazing experience, and I saw firsthand, we were sitting at the table next to their table, how much respect for you and regard for you and awareness of you Trump and his family have. So it's all true. How have you been able to do that? And even in the media world, they're saying, you know, Ruddy has steered this thing to the right. Of course, you brought up an interesting point that being right wing doesn't necessarily equate to being pro Trump at this particular, you know, juncture. But have you been able to maintain the relationship with Trump, with the conservatives, and yet be true to your journalistic principles, in spite of the fact that a lot of people don't recognize it?
Well, it's a long relationship. I guess it's a complicated one. I first met him in 1999, and I got to know him in the 2004 or 2005 period, and then I joined his clubs, really well. And I would see him for 15 years every single weekend, sometimes multiple times, certainly multiple conversations in the season down in Florida. And then I would see him a lot in New York, and I traveled with him. So for me, it's not a political relationship. It's a friendship. And I think he knows, you know, this is a guy that instinctively knows if you like him or not. So he knows I might disagree with him on things, or that I might be in opposition to certain policies and positions, but he picks up that I like him as a person, which I do. And I think and I know him as a person. So like when people say these things, he's this and that. Like I was talking to a Democrat that called me, was complaining about a very well-known Democrat in journalism and other things, and complaining about our coverage. And I made a comment about the president being magnanimous. And he said, is he really? Do you ever know of any instance where he's been magnanimous? And I said, yeah, I could tell you a whole bunch of things. He's got friends that are non-business people. Everybody's trying to say he's very transactional as a person or this and that. He has a degree of that, like most politicians. But, you know, I think if he has a failing, it's that he's not a political person. He's been a business guy and a very straightforward guy. And he likes speaking his mind, and he like breaks a lot of eggs and doesn't really see all the implications and ramifications for things. And I think the election, that was why the election was so close. It should have been a landslide in his favor based on his accomplishments. I criticize him, and he knows that he once said to me that, you know, people say, oh, we can't be friends and be critical of one another. And he said, you and I are friends, and you will criticize me. And he certainly has criticized me on things.
Oh, he has.
So, you know, I think it's, you just dig behind the headlines and you find a real, real person.
So a lot, speaking of the headlines and back to the New York Times reference, the story about you that ran in the New York Times a week or two ago, that was exaggerated and not quite accurate?
Well, there were two of them. One by Michael Grinbaum was great, and it really showed out what Newsmax had done. I mean, he wasn't our booster club, but he explained how we had grown, and he knows we weren't pushing any wild conspiracy theories. I've had a very consistent view about the election and a point of view. Ben Smith, who's their media columnist, he wrote a really, really derogatory column. You know, it sort of was surprising. You sort of expect something like that at the Daily Beast or one of these guys, one of these publications that don't really have any regard for values or ethics or standards. And he just sort of made it out like I was a cynical person out for ratings and success. And I had no really, I didn't believe what we were saying in Newsmax, and just things that were not true. Let me give you an example. He starts off the article saying that I had sent an email to Ed Koch, and I was trying to suck up and say nice things about Hillary Clinton because in 2004, she was probably going to be president. And this is the type of guy Ruddy was. He says that Hillary is a liberal, but she's not a bad person, and Rudy Giuliani is a bad person. And he says, this is proof that you'll do anything to suck up to power. So I said, Ben, that email was because Ed Koch and Hillary Clinton asked me out to lunch, and I sent Ed a note and said I was declining. And I've never had an interest in meeting Hillary Clinton. I've never requested a meeting with her. I've never had a meeting with her. But yet he still went ahead and published that as the lead item in that column. So you just start there, and you just, you know, every little thing was certainly not nice. But, you know, I guess we got to get used to it, right?
Well, there's no question.
Plus,
we also live in a world where media does target audiences. I mean, every media, all media. You can't exist if you don't target. So there's a certain level of craft and art to targeting an audience. And then the question of, do you mean what you're saying, or do you believe it's real, and all of that kind of becomes a problem for psychologists as opposed to journalists. It gets very complicated. Where are we going now? Where, you know, I know it's, we don't know where we're going, but I'm going to ask you anyway. anyway, because, again, it ties back into your view of that spectrum as a strategist. You are strategic. And I say that as a compliment. I don't say that as a slight, because I understand how media is programmed and marketed. Where do you think this whole steal the election and the protests and Trump claiming that he won and the fraud charges? How far do you think this is going to go before it either dies down and we go into a new era, or perhaps it becomes the next era?
Well, it's really, really hard to predict what's going to happen. I believe that Joe Biden will be the president-elect when this tape airs. He will be the president-elect of the United States based on the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. We've always said that we will accept that after at the basis of the Electoral College because there were so many close contested states. But the president seems very intent, and his people do, on investigating, probing, and challenging legally some of the results based on things they're learning about the software that was used on some of the voting machines, mail-in ballot procedures. I think if this does anything, I don't think it's going to upend the presidential results. I think it's pretty clear. Now, anything's possible, right? But I think it's pretty clear Joe Biden will be sworn in as the 46th president. But I do think it's done a couple of things. One is it's going to mean for better voter security integrity in the next election, and the Republicans will be on the lookout. They were warned about it, didn't do a lot this time. So that's going to be a positive development. The second thing is Joe Biden's moving more to the center because he's been outflanked by Trump, and his picks have been generally centrist, not really wild liberals that we were expecting. And I think he'll end up keeping a lot of Trump policies or just modifying some of them because they were actually pretty popular policies like dealing with China and resetting the trade and things like that, border security. So I don't think the Democrats want Trump come running on those issues again. But I think it's hard to predict what the future
of
is.
Of course.
Other than
final set of questions. Trump, you know him. He's a media freak like the rest of us. He loves media. There's talk about him starting his own empire. I, when asked about it, said I can't see him doing that. He'd rather be a guest and be part of other people's shows and not have to worry about the burden of running a network, which is a gigantic, complicated undertaking and not something I think he needs. Then there's talk about you. Have you had talks with Trump becoming part of your operation, either an investor or as a talent?
Well, not as an investor, but very limited about. I certainly expressed to him that we would very much like him to contribute to Newsmax, and if he ever wanted to do a thing like a weekly show, I think it would be terrific. Like you, I don't see him wanting to be part of a network that he owned or built. I think it would be, he loves all media. If you look at his pre-presidential days, he was on all media, and he's going to like to do that again. And all these platforms, social media and everything else. So I don't think of him as having an exclusive relationship with one media. I think he might try to do this OTT channel, Trump TV, where it's a paid online thing. Mm-hmm. That may be happening. Not that he told me, but I do think it's his ability to get a million or two subscribers is very real. Mm-hmm. And I think he would be able to do that. I think he's going to be a powerful media force, and Newsmax, we're now here to stay. We're not going away. We're on all the cable systems in the U.S. The other thing is, which is amazing, Michael, we're available on all the free OTT platforms where Fox is not. YouTube Live, Zumo, Pluto, Apple TV, all these Samsung smart TVs. We're estimating that our Nielsen number grows by 50 to 100% based on the OTT viewership, which is I think, the real story about Newsmax. And I'll end by saying Fast Company did a story about it where the writer said everybody's missing what's going on in Newsmax. It's really the OTT growth, not what's happening in traditional cable. But I'll take both wins on cable and OTT.
Well, you started as OTT. I remember that you saying that, and then you saw the opening in the cable market. Even though there's some reasons to think cable TV's future is on the decline, your timing and your position with it on top of the OTT channel really makes a tremendous amount of sense. Let me squeeze another 30 seconds out of you. What are your plans to do? What are your plans next year that you can plan on, you know, aside from the unknown? Now that you've got the attention of the television viewing public and you've achieved beyond your wildest dreams this opportunity to play on that level field with dominant organizations, what are your plans for improving Newsmax TV going forward as a news organization to take advantage of this opportunity?
Well, we definitely are going to be increasing our programming. We still have our 9 o'clock slot to fill. We haven't done that. We're thinking of a very female-centric program, sort of like The View for conservative women. Hmm. 10 o'clock, we have Rob Schmidt, who is a former Fox News anchor in the early morning. He's coming starting in the next couple of weeks. We have another great guy, Rob Finnerty, who is the CBS local anchor in Tampa. He did the morning show, was highly rated. He's going to be doing the Newsmax morning show, which is called Wake Up America, double entendre there. And so I think we've got, like, the weekend's going to be growing in coverage. We're sort of on wheels, right? Everything's moving.
Right.
And I think you're going to see we're developing even more our digital site. We're going to have a paid OTT site for a lot of our digital news. We want to do more with radio. We want to do more in local news. And so I think you'll see the Newsmax brand. We already have international licenses for Newsmax. 7 countries in Southeastern Europe, the biggest cable company there, United, has licenses for Newsmax TV. We did a deal with the largest media company in Hungary, MediaWorks, and they license our content. We're in discussions with 3 or 4 other countries right now that like the Newsmax brand. So I think it's going to be really good, both domestically and globally.
And that includes increasing the news journalistic part of it, you know, actually having your own bigger and stronger newsroom, for lack of a better word. Is that in there?
Yeah. Well, we have about 70 people out of our company of 275 that are dealing with the development of content and the production of news.
Wow.
Actually, might be a little higher. So they don't, unfortunately, sit in, I like when they're all in one newsroom, but we have room in our New York office for about 100 people to sit together. But the way it's been working between COVID and virtual reality is that people like working from home. But we are going to be increasing our bureaus. Obviously, we already have 2 people at the White House. We actually have 3. We will have somebody very soon at Congress. We have a bunch of international contractors that work for us, but we're going to be turning them into bureaus in London, Jerusalem, Rome, and probably one in Asia. And then, and so anyway, that's all growing nicely, and it's coming together. And I think people like the fact we do break news already on Newsmax.
And there you have it, an uninterrupted conversation with the founder and CEO of Newsmax and Newsmax TV, Christopher Ruddy. Thank you for downloading this program from Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the Podcast One app, and for following our Tuesday tweets announcing the names of our weekly guests. To sign up, it's at MH Interview. I can be reached directly via email at michael@talkers.com. If you find this show to be of interest and value, please subscribe to it, as well as giving it a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you're interested in hearing my weekly 1-hour radio show, The Michael Harrison Wrap, check out mhwrap.com. Our producer is Matthew B. Harrison, The Michael Harrison Interview. Thank you for listening.
The Michael Harrison Interview is a presentation of Podcast One in association with Good Phone Communications and Talkers Magazine. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.